Chapter 20. Sally pressed the red button to stop the bus. She looked around nervously as it came to a halt and the side door opened. She was the only person to get off at the Elgin Avenue stop, and she hesitated for a second before placing her foot onto the pavement. She looked left and right and then hurried away from the bus, clasping her Marks and Spencer's bag to her chest. The engine of the bus roared as it pulled away from the curb. Sally stood on the pavement and watched it go, then looked both ways up Great Western Road before crossing over and heading down Elgin Avenue. She walked against the traffic so that she could see who was driving towards her and took frequent looks over her shoulder. Nothing. She crossed over to Sutherland Avenue, past the laundrette where Tim took his shirts to be washed and ironed. Non-biological powder because he was allergic, and hangers rather than folded. Many was the time she had dropped off his laundry on the way to the bus stop. She headed north up Elgin Avenue and began to relax a little. If they had been following her to Maida Vale, they would have intercepted her by now. Ahead of her, she saw Maida Vale tube station, next to the Vietnamese noodle shop that Tim loved. His favourite meal was a bowl of pho noodle soup with grilled chicken and a tiger beer. She walked along the road, past the shops with their outdoor displays of fruit and vegetables, and turned the corner to the entrance to his flat. The door was on the ground floor and opened to a narrow hallway that ran up two floors to his flat. His was the only flat that used the hallway, so he kept his bike and sports stuff there. But Sally didn't go inside just yet. Instead, she walked past the front door, heading towards Sutherland Avenue. There was an Everyman cinema there where she and Tim had often watched movies, curled up on a sofa with a bottle of wine and a pizza. She hadn't been back to Maida Vale since she had broken up with him, and now all the memories came flooding back. She blocked them out, knowing that she had to concentrate on what was going on around her. She looked over her shoulder. No one had followed her down the road. She crossed over to the other pavement. There were no cars either way. Her heart was pounding again, and she took slow, deep breaths. If she had been wearing her Apple Watch, she was sure her pulse would show as well above 120. She stopped walking, took another look around, and then retraced her steps to the front door. There was a single doorbell to the right, but she ignored it and put the key straight into the lock, saying a silent prayer that Tim hadn't changed it. She turned the key, and it refused to move. Her heart pounded again. Was a knack to opening the lock, she remembered. It had caught her out on several occasions. You had to push the key all the way in, then pull it out a fraction, and then turn. She took a deep breath and tried again. This time, the lock clicked, and she pushed the door open. She took a last look over her shoulder and hurried inside, slamming the door behind her and pressing her back against it. She stood panting for breath, then took an extra deep breath to calm herself down. Tim's bike was on its brackets on the wall, but that didn't necessarily mean he was home. He used the tube to get to work. His cricket bag was on the stairs, along with two tennis rackets and a squash racket. She went up the stairs, past the posters of his favourite movies, The Godfather, Heat, Serpico. The classics, he always called them. Sally preferred vampire movies and science fiction, and he'd always let her choose the movie on the nights they had stayed in, though the quid pro quo was that he got to choose the pizza, which meant she had to put up with the pineapple that she hated and that he loved. The door to his flat was at the top of the stairs. There was a second lock there, but this one was operated by a keypad. Tim loved gadgets. He always upgraded to the newest iPhone on launch day, and he was one of the first in the UK to own an Apple Watch. When he'd bought Sally the same watch for her birthday, he'd delighted in showing her all the features. She looked now at the keypad. The number to open the lock was his month and year of birth. She tapped in the six digits and sighed with relief when the lock clicked and the door swung open. "Tim," she called. "Tim, it's Sally. Are you there?" There was no answer, and she pushed the door wider, entering the main sitting room. There was a small kitchen to the left, a bathroom next to it, and the bedroom was directly opposite the front door. "Tim!" she called. But there was no doubt that the flat was empty. She sighed and closed the door behind her. All the strength faded from her legs, and she sank to the floor. She drew her knees up against her chest and began to sob.